G'day and welcome to the Pod Pod. It's your boy Dossy talking all things AFL fantasy for one last time this season on this Monday night, September 4th, 2023. And yes, look, you might notice we are a week late. I just couldn't bring myself to release the show last week. Scores were still being tallied. We still weren't 100% certain who the winners were. But as I bring the guys in now on this sad day, much like Ben Keys and the Crows this year, I've been robbed. I will concede defeat. The Lux was not mine from the start. But lads, Louis, look, as we reflect on the season in this podcast, it is a shame that I couldn't get there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, really. I thought you might have had it in the bag early on this season, pre-round one, and then riding quickly was on the wall. And maybe post-buys, I thought you might have a late charge, but wasn't to be, unfortunately, mate.
Yeah, look, thinking that there would have been some late adjustments, I just had my AFLW fantasy score revoked on the weekend, and I went back about 3,000 spots after a bit of an adjustment. I thought maybe the opposite might happen on the AFL men, so I just had to make sure. But look, Holmesy, as we congratulate a new winner and the new face of fantasy for the next 12 months, Darren, what words have you got for the great man who's got the dubs?
Yeah, I can't ever say I've gone that high, Dossie, but I'm sure he's pretty happy with himself at the moment. And as all things go, I'm sure we'll be listening to his podcast next year, because isn't that what happens? You have to start a podcast when you finish up the ranks.
Well, that's what you did, mate. So, yeah, everyone on this show just about. So, yep, that's the trajectory. Good luck, Darren, with your new podcast next year. And Harmy, another man that's jumped on a pod after doing well. How are you, mate? And what's the week off fantasy been like for you?
Oh, I'm going pretty well, thanks, Buzz. Yeah, it's a bit funny getting to Friday night and then not having a game to flick on. I was a bit disappointed, but look, busy sort of weekend and that, but caught a couple of snippets of the AFLW, but it was a bit disappointing. Actually, I went to Melbourne too on Sunday, and I looked at the schedule about 2 months ago, realising that there was no footy on in Melbourne, so that was a show.
Unreal. Great work there, Harmy. But no, look, we'll do a little recap here of the season. It's been obviously a fantastic season. Thanks for sticking with us. And there's probably only a few of you left listening at the moment. But we're here to recap a bit of the season 2023. We will just do a very brief recap of the final round and get to you our final ranks for the season. And then we're going to go through a couple of pod awards style and then get into some questions from the listeners just to finish off the year in a bit of style. But yes, no statesman on this show today. I think he's enjoying a couple of frothies over in Bali. So all the best to the Stato on his holidays, and we wish him all the best. I'll first head over to you, Louis, and let's just recap, rewind a couple of weeks now, and we go back to round 24. What was your score there? And let's hear your final rank for the season.
Yeah, so I think I might have had my highest score for the season in round 24. I notched up at 26.05, which was nice to see.
Huge score to finish. That's monstrous.
Yeah, so that might have brought my rank in a bit. I'm not sure what it came in from, but into 16.55, which is, of course, outside the top 1,000. But I did that fantasy wrapped. There's a link floating around on Twitter, and it just sort of highlights all your fantasy trades and sort of what happened throughout the year, a little bit like your Spotify wrapped. And I finished in the top 1%, so I might move the goalposts and just go with that next year.
Love that. Yeah, I forgot to do that AFL Fantasy Wrapped. I tried a couple of times on my mobile, but it seems to be more effective on desktop. If you haven't done that, definitely jump on board. It's a cool way, like you said, Spotify Wrapped style of your fantasy season. Holmesy, let's give a bit of a wrapped for you and your little last round recap, and where'd you finish on the season?
Yeah, so I had a 24-1-3 to finish. Most years, most rounds, I'd actually be pretty happy with that, but seeing how Lou went the last round, and there was coaches even further ahead of him. I think there was a few scores in the 2700s. Just highlights just how far off the pace I was this year. So I ended up 7-2-5-3, which it's pretty shocking by my standards, but yeah, it just is what it is. Wasn't my year, and looking forward to wrapping up and building next year. It's exciting.
But you can enjoy your off season with a couple of frothies, Holmesy.
Oh, that's right. I should go grab one from the fridge, actually. They're sitting there ready to go. Dossie, those ton mids, thanks. The van driver tried to drop them off at the house next door, but I was having none of that. I said, get them over here. So I've got these wines for you. I was like, mate, they're not wines. They're beautiful.
That's an embarrassing knock at the door if you're letting a neighbour know that you've got some ton mids there for you. I think I'll just leave that.
So you what though, those beautiful yellow cans. If you didn't see that, we tweeted it out. Holmesy getting a nice little delivery there for, of course, a bit of a bet gone astray earlier in the year, but I do hope those beautiful tasting beers are going down a treat, mate. Harmy, let's hear your final round for the season and where you ended up.
Just to round out the quartet of underperformers for the year, my final score, 2.496 with an overall rank of 3.647. So, yeah, there's a couple of things didn't go according to plan in the last round, but yeah, and Louis beat me overall rank, so that was disappointing. And yeah, Dossie can't pick us up in the Lux for the pre-season trip too, so well, it was a bit of a shame.
I know. Just an all-round disappointing vibe we've got going on at the moment, and I'll finish it off with just as bad a vibe, 22.99 in round 24, so that was Lou popping in 300 points to me on my score. How many hundred did you put on?
That's an average of 100 each, Dossie boy.
That is just disgraceful. I do remember that heading into the final round, I think it was four people go out. So I had Jeremy Cameron, who was out, Baz Lenker-Smith, who was a shock and trading, and he went out. LDU was still in my team. And then somebody else. I think it was four players that I had go out. So, yeah, it was a great way to end the year. And, of course, as I said, didn't quite get the Hilux this year, but that score, that massive score in round 24, brought me out to a 21,025 rank. So, still not convinced I haven't got the shadow ban there, because I did get pushed outside the top 20K finish off.
It's the new age algorithm, Dossie. It just decided to play with you a little bit, give you a little bit of hope just to take it away from you in the final round. So
I genuinely think that's my worst finish in like 5 years as well. So after having the biggest claims of my fantasy career, I've had just about the worst in the last decade, I think, of fantasy performing. I do think the competition's just gone up such a big level this year, but no excuses for 20K. Sorry, boys. Onwards and upwards in 2024. But before we sort of get into our little recaps, I wanted to give a quick congratulations to the Pod Listener League champion. So if we want to rewind at the very beginning of the season, our Listener League, we did a little bit differently this year. Each of the hosts at the time. So Harmy was kind of one foot in at that time. So he only got the one team, I believe. It was mostly it was me, Holmesy, and Louie that got to draft a team with as I said, Harmy having one team represent him. We drafted listeners based on reviews in the Apple podcast system and drafted them into our squad to represent us. And we've been updated across the season. And I'm pleased to announce the Pod Listener League champion was Jared's War Machine, Team Holmesy. So representing Team Holmesy. Holmesy is technically the Listener League champion as well with Jared's team there, War Machine, defeating the Nacossians, who were representing Louis. Now I'll hand to the losing coach first. Louis, any thoughts on this devastating defeat?
Mate, I am pretty flat, because I think I had four or five teams in the finals and they've all fallen over to Team Holmesy there. But well done to all the coaches I drafted. I saw, I'm not sure what the Twitter user was that was tracking it throughout the year, Dossie, but did a wonderful job and was following it
Matty
there.
Matty Sterling, that was for us. Yeah, cheers to Matty Sterling for giving us that update, yeah, every week. And we retweeted that. That was something that we forgot to do, is actually be on the league so we could keep an update of it. So Matty covered us there. Thanks, mate.
Nah, well done to all those coaches. Good fun, and keen to do it next year. Unlucky to the Nacossians. I really like that team name too. But come again next year, I might draft you again.
Now, of course, handing over to the winning coach, he, of course, knows that it is his job to provide his team with a prize to finish off the year. So maybe bundle up a 4 or 6 pack of those of those Tom Middies and send them over to Jared.
Nah, Dossy boy, but I'll arrange it right now. So get in contact with Dossy through the Pod Twitter handle or X handle, and I think all of us boys here will shout you a carton of ton mids. We'll get them across. It's only fitting. It's a great drop. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Jesus. All right. Well, if he does get in touch, we'll see what we can do. I might just have to get that done. Onto the Pod Challenge, though, because Stato had been updating us across the season on the Pod Challenge as well. That was our open league that we had across the season. Now, Stato had called the Pod Challenge Pod Challenge in brackets, we can all beat DOS, with a clear goal for all our listeners there. But look, it was a fantastic year. There was 961 users total in that group, and we had 28 people finish inside the top 100. So 28 hats in the Pod Challenge, an unbelievable effort from everyone in that crew. So we just congratulate everyone there. Another 4 finished inside the top 115. We had someone just miss out on the 102 as well, so couldn't even get the lucky 101 mug there, but awesome work from everyone. So the winner of the Pod Challenge ended up being Michael and his team, No Hanes, No Gain. He ended up 6th overall as well. So unbelievable effort, Michael. The runner-up of the Pod Challenge was Bindi's Blues. That was Matt, so number 8. And then 3rd overall, who was leading a lot of the way as well, was Jono, was Love at First Lance. Ended up finishing 11th overall and got the bronze medal in the Pod Challenge as well. So well done to everyone there. Just an unbelievable effort, Harmy. Want to give a shout out to all the Pod Challenge?
No, absolutely. And also, the man that took him out, Michael, had a few messages with him, and I helped him slip from 5th to 6th in the last round there. So congratulations.
Yes. Did everyone beat DOS, though? That's what everyone wants to know. 101 people
rounded up to yes.
Did not. 101 people did not beat me. And I wanted to give a shout out. We give a shout out to the top end. How about the wooden spoon winner of the Pod Challenge, Steve, and his team, Maddie Neal, finishing 145,532nd overall. So we also want to give a big shout out to Steve there. Yeah, I think we'll just move on now. And our biggest thing that we're going to kick off the show with is our GOAT and WOAT for the season. So the greatest of all time and the worst of all time for the season. Just a bit of an award, recapping the best players that we've had and the worst of the season. And we'll start with our positive and our GOAT for season 2023. Holmesy, you want to take it away, mate, with your GOAT for season 2023?
Yeah, mine's a bit of a low-hanging fruit, but starting Bontempelli, I know there was a lot of coaches that did, but I felt like I was pretty high on him in the preseason. I was one of the ones advocating for him at the time. There was a bit of a narrative saying that, you know, he's good, but he hasn't really had that year where he's put it all together and gone really big, and he did that this year. So averaging 118, being the highest averaging mid from a 103 price point, he was a very good player to pick in my starting squad and very happy, as I know Harmy was too.
No, I didn't have him actually to start, so I'm not.
Who was your GOAT then, Harmy?
The GOAT for my team. Sorry, Dospy. Jaden Hunt. Would you believe that?
No.
In the preseason, when I'm looking at all the players, would you have picked that Jaden Hunt would be my GOAT for the year? In the period that I owned him, he averaged 80, and that was from rounds 4 through to rounds 13. So it was only when he put up a 37 that I thought his time was definitely done for me. So it's the sort of classic mid-pricer that you really want to get. I bought him at 50 or just under 50, and he's averaged 80 for me, so 30 points above his price, which is excellent.
Yeah.
Imagine how I was feeling, Harmy. Imagine how I was feeling when I started him round 1 and he popped a 44.
Did you stay with him?
I did.
Good man.
I did.
What could have been had there been another man stay in the team a little bit longer, we could have seen a bit more of a battle there, I think. But no, Hunt, I think I saw he finished like top five in the week was BNF. Yes, granted, not a tough year to do so, but still a great year from Jaden Hunt. Louis, GOAT for the year?
Yeah, I'm going to give mine to Jordan Dawson, who has been an absolute jet all season, but probably wasn't the most popular starting pick with Doherty, Stewart and Sicily already down there. And at that point was sort of rumoured to go into the midfield, but was still very much a bit of a half-back flanker winger, but moved straight in round one and hit the ground running. It's been fantastic pretty much all year. I think he played every single game and has been a captain option throughout. So, got to give it to Jordan Dawson. I think he presented a bit of value to start the season as well, certainly compared to what he did do in the end. So, yeah, well done to Jordan Dawson.
Yeah, my GOAT, also a starting pick that I had, and Errol Goulden. Just what a season it ended up being for Errol Goulden. To be honest, I was going to give him the GOAT, but I'm going to rescind that after what deserves to still be GOAT status for a certain man on this show. Now, yes, he didn't get the Lux, but a final week of advice proved that he still got it in him. And if you guys just want to right now pause this show, go back to the final show heading into round 24 and rewind to what this man said on the show last week. So I think we just mentioned a few of the final hat winners there, but one man, I think he finished 16th in the end, was Tens Titans. Now, Tens, if you're listening, mate, just think back to that last week and the advice that Dossie gave you. I said to bring in Sam Flanders and Taylor Walker and pop the C on Taylor Walker in the final round. That was 300 points. From yours truly, I'm going to give myself the GOAT for that great call from last week, Harmy.
So that was obviously your trades too then, Doss?
Nah, I didn't do them.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. The true GOAT, the fantasy GOAT for the season, is actually Harry Sheasel. I can't believe that none of us gave it to him, hey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't have him, unfortunately, but yeah. For all the reasons that you said with Jaden Hunt earning all that cash for you as a starting pick, Sheasel was phenomenal.
It's like he must have been traded in and out of so many teams and just ended up being, the ultimate hold all season. Kind of just kept thinking it was going to fall away and kept the role. What do you reckon next year, Holmesy? Is he going to be still in that cushy role, though, next year at halfback? He's probably more of a risky starting pick now that he's his role is probably up in the air.
Well, there's no Zeeble, there's no hole.
Yeah, you're going to look at it clearly. There'll be a lot of talk in preseason, but the narrative throughout the whole year has been that they eventually want him to have him as a mid forward, and he's not going to have as good a role as a mid forward. It'd be pretty hard to start at 98, but we know that the players generally can go bigger in their second and third year, so he's going to be a fantasy star in the future, and no doubt he'll be featuring at some point sooner rather than later for us again.
Yeah, well, what did Nick Dacos start right this year? Let's have a quick look. It's about that, wasn't it, in mid-90s?
No, it was in the 80s.
It was plus 88. Okay.
80, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how much upside there is going to be with Sheasel next year.
Geez, talk about another potential GOAT before injury was Nick Dacos. I mean, he went, plus 20-odd on his price as well. Unbelievable stuff. A lot of good players to talk about. Let's talk about some of the bad ones and our WOAT for the season.
Worst player ever.
Back to you. I reckon we started with Holmesy. Let's go to you, mate.
Yeah, Dossie boy, and I can't fully blame you because I do press the buttons and I make the trades, but bringing in Braden Fiorini for his wing role in the middle of the season, having my 30th birthday ruined, having my 30th birthday ruined for logging in the app when I was half cut and seeing that Fiorini put up 30 and Rory Atkins put up 32 in the same game was, but that song that you wrote that was stuck in my head for about 3 weeks, Braden Fiorini, never again for me. I don't care, but yeah, that was that kind of derailed some good movement I had moving into the buys.
Tough stuff, but he didn't get the role once again, was popped out onto a wing. So not really his fault there, Holmesy. A bit harsh by you, but Louis.
Yeah, but I'm one that I like the consistency of the role and he just doesn't have it. So that was bad by me.
Fair enough. Lou, WOAT for the year.
It's got to be, for me, Josh Kelly. This guy probably could have gotten my vote for the last 3 years for one reason or another. And this year, I started him. He looked like a great pick, got injured. Ended up bringing him back when he looked like he was in some form. The role changed. And, it was a little bit of a roller coaster. And I think I'm finally done with him, although he will be cheap next year. So, we'll see.
You are starting him 100%, Louis.
I can't wait. It's terrible, isn't it?
It's always one of those guys. Like, he is never again for me. I've just gone there way too many times. It's like one season we rest our hat on with Kelly with like 115 average off 15 games or something. He still missed games that year. So, stuff him. Not again for me. Harmy, vote for the year.
Vote is definitely Jack McRae. He just did everything that you didn't want him to do. Like, he started at priced at 916,000, so it was well over 100. He dropped $222,000 for the year. I held him for 23 rounds. He finished off with two terrible scores. I could have traded him out so many times, but he just, you know, flirted with a few, one-off high scores just to show us what he could do, but didn't have the role. I said, I think last week, that I was tossing up between Bont and McRae. 670-point difference if I had started Bont instead. So, yeah, he's definitely my vote. I'm surprised you didn't go there too, Holmesy.
I saw Dossie had him on the run sheet and I knew you'd go there as well. But, yeah, I think you summed it up. He had the perfect season in terms of there was either a good matchup coming up or he had a decent run of form, and he's just always something that just meant he held on for one more week. And then, yeah, just ended up trading him out after two back-to-back 40s and 50s. So, yeah, I completely agree, Harmy. Watching it, every time I watched him, I knew the role wasn't there. I knew he was just out of form and he just wasn't going to do it, but he just held on and it was just so frustrating.
Sorry, Dossie.
I actually realised I've got another one I can put in here and way more relevant. I totally forgot I even had this guy, to be honest. So, looking back at my round one team, this is a guy that I picked over Caleb Sarong. It was a complete coin toss at the start of the year between one or the other. Will Brody, 5 games he total that he played for the season, and it's more of a Justin Longmuir, a bit annoyed at him for doing what he did to the great man. But look, comes out the gates, a 76 points. I needed him to really fire early. He gets a 60 against North, barely plays, 64% time on ground, dropped. Plays a couple more games, but he was straight out of my side. He finished the year 180K down. He's certainly, I guess, one to watch heading into next year if Longmuir has any sort of role for him. But I just don't – yeah, he
won't be cheap, Dossie. He'll be priced off his 2022 average, which was higher. So he won't actually be that cheap. And, you wouldn't touch it. I think he's one of those players that the game's kind of moved past. If you don't get it on the inside, he's useless on the outside. So,
hey, I was there with you, Dossie. My only saving grace for the season was I won my draft comp. But I think it was like my third pick was actually Will Brody, and I held him the entire year. Mm. I only dropped him on the last day to get a red dot to loop, take the loop.
I also had him in my league. Can't say I won, though, unfortunately. Did exactly the same thing. You just hold him all year because in the waffle, he's just dominating. Just one of those guys, like another Charlie Constable type, I guess, that just obviously clearly coaches don't think they're – it's probably the speed factor, like you said, Holmesy. I think that they just don't have the fitness or the speed that is required at the current state of the AFL, which is obviously that fastball movement era. Okay, that's our woats and goats. Now, the thing I want to get to next is the Ben Keys Shorts shittest trade of the year. Now, I'll throw to you, Holmesy, again. So, obviously, our Woat is sort of a player that, you know, underperformed across the entire season. But what was your worst moment for the season, your shittest trade?
Yeah, and mine is well documented. And to be honest, there was merit at the time, but I didn't expect it to backfire the way that it did. And it was only until round 24 that I actually had the opportunity to rectify my mistake. But I traded out Errol Goulden in round 6 and I traded him to Brad Crouch. So at the time, Goulden was only averaging 90, and I thought I'd just try and be a little bit different and go to a Brad Crouch who was flying. There was no Jack Steele, and for a couple of weeks it went really well. Crouch put up some monster scores and Errol just kept doing what he was doing, and then it flipped. And I think from round 8 onwards, I think Errol averaged 120 and was close to the highest averaging player in the comp, and he's ended up being the highest averaging forward. And then Crouch, I think, put up 370s in a month span, and it allowed everyone to get him super cheap, and he was in our sides for the rest of the year. So that was clearly my worst trade. Like I said, merit at the time, I didn't think it would go that badly against me, but in hindsight, just horrendous.
Yeah, that's a rough, tough pill to swallow there. Holmesy getting out of Goulden. Do you think, can I just ask while we're here, Goulden, is he a starting option for you, Holmesy, next year? Obviously, he's going to be highly priced, but looking ahead to 2024, as we do immediately when 2023 is finished, could you go there knowing how much it hurt you this year?
Well, to be honest, mate, the scary thing is that we see players really build over their first 3 years, and then we see that big jump in that year 4 and year 5, like we saw with Sarong this year, like we saw with Brayshaw the year before that. So in theory, he should have another level to go to. It would not surprise me if he has a year where he puts up a 120-plus average. He has the ultimate fantasy game. He works as hard as anyone. This year we saw multiple games where he had 94-95% time on ground as an inside mid and a winger. I'm not sure I could go there at a 113 price tag to start being a mid only. That's not how I really play the game, but yeah, far out. He was as hard a player to watch this year, not only.
Hey, Lou, did you put a post on X about like the amount of players that came in priced over 110 or more, and whether they went up in price? Was that you? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was me. I think it was of the top 20 highest priced players to begin the season, only two, or it might have been three, actually excelled on that. So
I think there's the answer.
It's a pretty bad strike rate.
That is something to think about. Although I think what you're saying, Holmesy, as well, all the combined factors of his game mixed with the fact that he was number one on our observable thirst list a couple of weeks ago, the power rankings, probably does hold him in good stead to back that up.
You'd have to think more attention comes, though. You know, he's 21. He's just got his maiden All-Australian. There might have been a little bit of attention on Chad Warner from the year previous. And, of course, Luke Parker, who was in good form the year previous too. So I reckon he might be circled for next year. But at the same time, with a ceiling like that, he could easily put up 110-plus numbers all over again.
Lou, who was your Ben Key Shorts shit trade of the year?
Yeah, so I've sort of looked at the logic on mine, and this one was just fundamental mess up, really. So I think after my round one trades or round two trades, I didn't have much to do. And I made that classic mistake where I thought I'd get cute and fix up a red dot in Campbell Chesser, because a lot of the competition had him, and I thought this might be an opportunity to find 100, 200K on the rest of the competition and get some earlier upgrades. Ended up taking him down to Brody Uhland, who I think he scored about a 40, and then he was dropped the following week, never to return, only for Chesser to come back a couple of weeks later. So what I thought was a clever move, in hindsight, was probably quite silly, and just didn't improve my team on field. And despite maybe if it worked out getting that extra cash, even in hindsight, I think I would have been better off finding points on field at that early stage. So that's mine.
Yeah, the age-old trade, that one I reckon done a few times out in my career as well. Harmy, you, mate, take us through.
Well, I thought it was going to be Sheezel to Lloyd, which was round 13, 14.
That's a close second for me as well, Harmy.
But I thought, my season was wrecked before that point. So I went back through the archives and digging up some bad memories and had a look at my trades. I think it is round two. Tom Stewart got injured on 14, shocker, round one, got knocked out. So then I went to Hayden Young, who killed it in round one. I only heard him for 2 weeks. He averaged 66 for me. He had a season average of 89. But I wanted to go to Will Day the whole time. So the next week, I brought in Will Day And then the next week, I brought in back in Tom Stewart. So in all of that mixture of terribleness in my back line, I think I just stuffed a whole number of trades early on in the season.
Just on that Tom Stewart move, Harmy, because I was with you as well. It wasn't as bad as we copped that 14 in round one, that knee injury. So he's averaged 96.8 for the year from 22 games. You take out that 14 that he got injured in round one, he actually averaged over 100 and he's a top six defender. So, you know, copped a lot earlier on in the season about why we started Tom Stewart, all this and all that. But he was not a bad pick. Just the unfortunate injury really derailed us early.
I guess that's over to old Dossie now. And I think my shittest trade of the year, which is completely well documented too, as you've mentioned, Holmesy, before yours one was. But in round four, Sam Doherty went down with injury. I think he only ended up missing a couple of weeks too, wasn't it? Because he played 20 games of the year. So round four went down, came back in round seven and was beast. But instead of going to the clear, obvious choice of Jordan Dawson at the time, who was flying but had still.
Who's your boy as well, Dossie?
Who's your boy?
You've wanted him as an inside mid. I've been talking the whole time about how much you love him.
And yet I didn't pick him. I didn't go the obvious straight swap, which was Doherty Dawson. No, this was when my season took a turn and I went for Jack Bowes and Trent Rivers to spread that cash. The next week, Bowes scored 49 and Trent Rivers scored 78. And then I had to hold Rivers for another bloody 10 rounds or more. I can't remember how long it was, but, and then of course, Jack Bowes was pretty useless as well. And then got injured on a 10, 2 weeks later, injured on field on a 10, 2 weeks later. So, clearly my worst trade of the season by a country mile. There's a bunch of other great terrible trades as well that I did throughout the year, including a lot of people would have been on the same boat as me. Callum Mills, who also, at least I got a ton out of him, I will say that. I got 110 in round eight and then the next week he scored a 3 for me. So at least got the 110. But yeah, Callum Mills was in there as well. But yeah, the Doherty to Rivers and Bowes is one of my all-time worst trades, I think. Louis just can't stop.
I've got a question for that, Dossie. Did you bring Bowes in again later in the season?
I went back to the well. Yeah.
You were just a year too early. He was dirt cheap. He's going to be a good pick next year.
He will be. But no, I did go back to the well, yes. And in fact, in round 24, he scored me an 88, but I didn't have him on field as well. I had him try to loop him on. Oh, God. Another bad trade. Sorry, I could just go on. But Bailey Smith, I brought him in after his ton. He tunned up late in the season. I brought him in. He scored 114 against Essendon. Brought him in, and from round 20, he went 69, 68, 64, 84. So, and then was out round 24. So that was great as well.
He did the same thing last year.
Yeah, just quiet. And now looking for a trade as well by the looks, or seemingly. Okay, on to our next segment, which is the Buzz Lightyears Ahead call for 2024.
To infinity and beyond.
Start with you, Louis. What was your Buzz Lightyear call for 2024? Who do you reckon will pop, or what do you think is going to happen next year?
Yeah, I've got Tom Green as the highest fantasy scorer, certainly in the midfield, next year.
Love that.
Just don't think there's a lot of 22-year-olds that can pop a 170. I think there's some scores in his year this year that you could make a case could have been higher. Of course, you can make the case the other way too, but like I said, there's scope for improvement. This was his real sort of breakout year. And when he did come back from injury after a few weeks off, he hit the ground running again with a 140 and then a couple of 120s. So if he can keep that up next year as the Giants build and potentially look like pushing for, you know, top four spot with their improvement this season, I think Tom Green can be a massive part of that. And a little bit like Clayton Oliver, how he started the season, could be a captain option for us early.
Yeah, lock for me at the moment. I'm 100%
on never mind. That. Never great mind.
I thought you should.
I bought that one.
God damn it. All right, fine. Holmesy, take it away, mate.
Yeah, mine's a bit different. I'm just going to go out on the record, and I can't wait for this to blow up in my face, but I don't think Jack Steele is going to be the underpriced midfielder that we want him to be next season. You know, he had a lot of injuries this year. Clearly, he was playing hampered there towards the end, but I think this St. Kilda list is going to have a bit of a turnover. They're going to start to maybe promote a bit of youth, and with the way the game's changing, I think they might use him in a few different roles here and there, and I think that might limit his ceiling a little bit. So I'm not sure there's going to be heaps of value on his 98 price tag or whatever he's at, and he's going to probably trick a few of us next year in preseason because we've got this idea of what Jack Steele's done in the past. He's been a gun for us, but I'm not sure he's going to, you know, maybe get back to those heights again.
Do you think he falls into the mold of some of these players like a Cripps, like a Wines? I mean, we've already talked about Brody, who they are, he isn't up to that sort of level, but do you think he falls into this new category of kind of a bit slower midfielder that, you know, relies on tackles, relies on the grunt work that maybe doesn't fit into that fantasy scoring mold of the, you know, the new age footballer?
He's been injured.
Well, I mean, when he was at his...
Sorry.
Yeah, he's been injured a lot. So it's really hard to know. But when he was at his best, we all know his tackling, but he used to pop up for marks as well. He used to get a little bit of ball on the outside. And we know now, like, who do you want getting the ball on the outside? Do you want Jack Sinclair? Do you want Nasiah Wanganeen-Millara? Or do you want Jack Steele, who's going to slow it down? So I think with the way the game's gone, I think he's going to be more of an inside midfielder, and when he tackles well, he's going to go well. But he's, you know, he might not get the marks to be an uber scorer for us. So I don't think he'll go backwards. He'll be around the mark. I'm just not sure he's going to be that underpriced guy that goes bang to start the season.
Interesting call. Cool. All right, Harmy, what's your buzz take for 2024?
Okay, Dossie, I've had a look into the crystal ball, and I've got a guy priced at 31 who's going to average over 75. And that's Jeremy Sharp. I reckon he's going to leave Gold Coast and go to Freo, go back to WA, where he's from, and he's going to take Henry's spot on the wing. So we saw in his, I think it was, oh, his rookie year or year two, he put up some really big scores, like a lot of plus sixes out on that wing. So, yeah, that's the one I'm sort of tracking in the preseason and the trade period.
Thought you were going to say Toby McLean there, mate.
he'll be close to 31, won't he, Lou?
He won't be far off. No.
Will he beat the Bullies, mate, or will he leave?
If we had some recordings from the preseason, we could have really buried Lou with a few of those. I reckon the Toby McLean must have.
Yeah, hopefully, it's maybe the classic 1 year too early. If he if he gets a lifeline somewhere else.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see. My big call, my buzz call, and I am the OG buzz, Will Powell to be a top six defender, 82 average, got Damien Hardwick coming in, finished the season plus 10 on his last five average as well, and then they desperately need a ball user back there to run Damien Hardwick's game plan, which he always seems to use that distributor in defense. We saw Basher and the likes of Jaden Short coming through as well, but there's no one there for the Gold Coast to really play that role aside from Powell. And apparently all word is that he's going to be fine for preseason as well. So he's my pick. And then I also want to monitor Josh Ward in the preseason. Year two was definitely the second year blue vibes there for him, even though I think he did improve his average but didn't take that huge leap that we might have thought from Josh Ward. So with Hawthorn improving, I really see him sort of hopefully taking a more predominant midfield role, but if not, playing that sort of outside role that we see Goulden thrive in at stoppage and priced at 75. I reckon Josh Ward could be the breakout as well for next year. So watch this space, and we do know Dossie loves a buzz call. All right, we're going to get on to some questions from the listeners before we wrap up, and we thank you all for listening again if you've made it this far through the show. There's not a heap of questions, so we'll try and get through these relatively quickly. I know Holmesy has to go in just a few minutes, so I'll get to some of the questions that he can answer first. Let's have a look here at one. What was the strategy, or was there a strategy this season that didn't work and that you'll fade next season? That was from Russ. Holmesy, your thoughts?
Well, to be honest, every year is different. So I'm not going to rule a strategy out just because one worked this year and one worked the previous year. I think you got to play every season on its merits. It will be interesting this next year because the flavor this year was, after round sort of 17, 18, 19, when teams were complete, a lot of coaches were trading in 23rd, 24th premiums to start to loop from the bench. And I think that worked out very well this year because we got a lot of premiums from low price points that ended up being keepers. But it might not work as well next year if we're having to, trade out players because we're not getting them at such low price points. So that's one to monitor. Definitely worked this year for some high rank coaches. But it's really the first year that we've seen it. So who knows whether it'll work again. So it's just one to monitor.
It'd be nice if the salary cap went down a little bit or the magic number changed a bit to make it a bit harder, because it seems like some of those teams just got completed too early and it were too similar. So it was too hard to make up ground in the back half of the season.
Yeah, but what will be interesting next year, Harmy, is we're losing all these mid-forwards, so we're actually going to have to pick forwards next year. So I think that's going to make that element of the game different.
Dan Flanders? Forward?
Mm. Does he keep it? Does he keep forward status?
I don't know. Be a few interesting ones.
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
This is an interesting one from Ninja. Was there a favourite preseason take that was just completely wrong? So we did mention about maybe Toby McLean being an absolute lock as a rookie. Is there any other ones that stand out? I'm trying to think back. I mean,
Josh Dunkley will be the number one scorer. There was a bit of that.
Oh, that's got to be it. That's got to be the one. Like, you just look back now. I mean, he still averaged a ton, but by God, it was a disappointing season from all accounts from Dunks. I don't know what happened in the back half of the year too. Was he carrying something or what?
Because we know what it's like coming back from injury. But
yeah.
I know my big one. I was unsure about how Tim Taranto's going to go in that Richmond midfield. It kind of showed towards the end of the year. He dropped off a lot when they had all of their guys back, Hopper back in there. Dusty was playing more of a role around the ball. But, yeah, that was clearly wrong with how Taranto started and how he went through, especially through that middle
the
patch.
Rucks, the rucks will all be terrible. Don't worry about the rucks. But then I had English and Marshall all season.
I was about to say, I think the set and forget. We were pissing around in the rucks again and once again.
We're back,
it
baby.
It was the set and forget that got it done. So we'll see for next year. There's a bit of value down there.
I've actually got another one as well. I reckon the amount of people that owned this guy round one and we were thinking he was going to be our saviour, Charlie Constable. he was a big preseason take as well. He was going to take the next
step. Hunter Constable.
Yeah, 87 and 81 in round one and two, and then was dropped. I think that was the story of Constable's season. So, but I mean, yeah, there was a fair few takes on Constable flying around, and he was certainly in the Twitter feeds throughout the season as well, hoping he'd come back in.
Dom Sheed, I called Dom Sheed really early, talked him up as much as I could.
Yeah, true. Mm. Yeah, I remember seeing him wearing the career savers in one of the trial games, and let you guys know. I said, boys, avoid when you're wearing those. Your body's as bad as mine and you're just trying to get through week to week.
Sorry, Doss, one more strategy that I would change for next year is holding on to mid-prices and rookies a little bit longer. There were some guys like a James Warpe or a Finn Callahan who I was a little bit impatient to move on and get onto somebody else's head and find a value primo or an Uber premio via that, but it just didn't work for me, and I would have been better off actually holding these guys an extra 3-4 weeks and banking that 150-200k and then pivoting off, because quite often these guys, even if they drop two poor scores in a row, they are sort of established in the team, so to speak, and can bounce back and drop you a couple of nicer scores, which can just keep you floating a few more weeks than what you otherwise would have.
Would you extend that to the rookies as well, Lou? So, typically we know that the rookies that are around the mark, round one and round two, are typically the rookies that have the better job security and are more in the coach's plans. And I know I got caught out a few times, downgrading them a little bit earlier only for the player that you bring in to get a sub vest or be dropped a couple of rounds later. And, I think a Chandler's a good example of that, of getting off him early, but he was able to hold his spot and actually make more money once I got rid of him. So would you agree there as well?
Yeah, I think so, mate. I reckon you have to back yourself a little bit there. Like, there's some rookies that can sort of hold that 65 average and not drop too much in cash, but there's other ones who, a little bit like Chandler, can get out the blocks really quickly and then sort of revert back to their mean and drop cash quite quickly too. So It's about towing that line a bit, but I know as a Darcy Wilmot owner, holding him up until about round 19 was fantastic.
Yeah,
and same with Marcus Winhager for a lot of coaches there too, even a Ruben Jinby before he dropped off a bit late.
I reckon I almost thought, Holmesy, your original plan like a couple of years ago when you were up there and got your runner-up cap, that was like the opposite. It was like Tom Phillips failed early and you were like, jump off. So it's like, is that not just a reverting back kind of? It's tough.
It's hard though, right? Because I do that with Goulden this year and it flips, right? So it is that there's luck to it. It is what it is.
Tom Phillips sucked from the start though too, didn't he? Whereas Warple and Callaghan sort of got to a point where we thought we could move them on and that's where they're going to peak.
Yeah. I still had the role, I suppose, is the thing. We were kind of projecting they'd lose the role. It wasn't kind of, based on anything bar a fantasy score. Okay, the final couple here. An early look at 2024. Harmy, I know you're a man that loves to look ahead. Aside from your buzz call, is there any just obvious clear things that are going to happen? So Brody Grundy, for instance, gaining forward status is one that's coming in here. Do you think he gets it and is a current lock?
Not really. I did mention Jack Bowes before. I think if Sam Walsh had forward status, he'd probably just about be the F1 for the season. But I'm keen to have a bit more of a look into that and do another podcast in the next couple of months and explore that a bit more, Dossie.
I think we've covered everything the listeners want. One last question here was from there's a couple actually. What were Dossie's emotions when he realised it was Darren's Lux from the start? That was from John. Hopefully I covered that off in the intro. Yes, it was a devastating moment. As I said, I couldn't really come to terms with it. We had to record a week later. I was really just waiting for those late adjustments, but couldn't come in the 21,000 spots that I needed to. And Free Kick Lamb, has Dossie started planning how he will fit the 23 Corolla and 24 Lux in his garage? So look, I had a pretty strong, as I said at the start, I actually was messaging him probably when he messaged me here, thinking I was in the top couple of hundred in AFLW fantasy. And once again, the shadow bans kicked in. It said I was ranked like 300th, and no joke, an hour later, it pushed me out 3,000 spots. And I'm like, and dropped my score by 400. So
still top 20,000 though. I don't know what's going on there. That's good.
Yeah, still in the top. All right, I think that's going to wrap us up for season 2023. We thank you very much for listening. Maybe jump on, give us a rating and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. If you have enjoyed throughout the season, we do really appreciate those in helping the brand there. We, of course, thank our sponsors, the Keeper League Pod, for sticking by us all season long, helping us out there, helping us out with hosting and whatnot as well. Really give us a lot of support behind the scenes. So make sure you check out keeperleaguepod.com in the off season. I know they're doing a lot of AFLW stuff as well at the moment. They're keeping their podcast going. So if you are into your AFLW fantasy, check that out. Follow them on the socials, all the rest. But of course, we want to give the biggest thank you to you guys, the listeners, for sticking with us all season long, getting involved on the socials, asking your questions, just sending messages of support and also just helping out. We hope we've helped you out with your teams along the way as well in some way or another. Louis, any final thoughts on the season and message for our listeners here?
Oh, just thanks to all the listeners for tuning in this year. You're what makes the show happen. So, thanks again for that and see you next year, I suppose.
Harmy?
Oh, yeah. Echo those comments. It's just been a lot of fun, even though we haven't really had a great deal of success amongst our group. But some of the listeners have, so well done to them. And, thanks, Dossie. It's been a good year.
No worries, mate. It's been awesome. And, of course, Holmesy's just had to shoot off then, but he's obviously would repeat the sentiment we've just given. Same as Stato, who obviously had to miss a bit of the season this year, but he's always supportive. And we thank Stato for everything that he's done this year. Wish him all the best. All right. That's it, guys, for the season. We'll see you soon, no doubt. But thank you very much for listening to Pod Pod in season 2023. See ya.